My name's Maria Manatic.
Whoa. I have to read that?
Yes.
Out loud?
Yes.
Alrighty. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who's working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, there's a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic texts, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we have to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Cool. My name's Maria Manatic. And I'm going to thank God I'm clean. I try to do that every morning, because there was a point in my life where I wasn't really happy to wake up, and I wasn't very grateful to wake up, and I try to be very grateful to be on this side of the dirt and clean. And I want to thank the convention committee for pushing me to learn and to grow in my own recovery, because when I got the call and they told me that I was going to do the 12 concepts, I immediately called my sponsor and I said, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. There are so many people more qualified to share the 12 concepts. And she said, you're right, but you were asked to. And she spent a lot of time with me, so you know, I want to thank my sponsor, Linda, for helping me get centered and prepared. And I've been praying all morning, every time I think about it, for God to help me to deliver a clear and concise message. And on a personal note, I really hope that anybody who... if you get anything out of it, it's a desire to learn more about our service structure, how it works, and how to be involved, because NA needs us, needs every one of us. I also want to tell you that if you want more information, you can go online at www.na.org, and you can download a whole bunch of stuff, and one of the things you can do is a guide to local service, which has quite a bit about the 12 concepts. And they also have a little booklet called The 12 Concepts for NA Service, which I kind of am going to, like, read from a little bit. And it also is a really neat thing if you are interested in doing a 12-step meeting, or even as a group, as a home group, going over this, because they have some questions, which you'll hear as I go through some of the questions that they ask of a home group. And I think it's really neat that they've laid it out so nicely for us, because I know for me, I like to make things complicated, and it has helped me to make it real simple. I wasn't nervous till I got up here. The first concept, to fulfill our fellowship's primary purpose. The NA groups have joined together to create a structure which develops, coordinates, and maintains services on behalf of NA as a whole. When I first read that, I heard, womp, 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 womp. It was a little much for me, one big sentence. And my sponsor said, it's the service structure. It's what I've been involved in since I got clean. And she said that she thought I should approach it like service for dummies, like, you know, like those dummy series. And I wanted to read this. The primary responsibility of an NA group is to conduct recovery meetings, carrying the message directly to the addict who still suffers. Our primary purpose is to make sure that an addict, any addict, can get clean, can stop using and find a different way of life. And what the service structure does, to my understanding, it sets it up so that we can carry our message at our meetings, and then we can carry our message in a much bigger way collectively together. It's the epitome of, like, what we can do together, we can't do alone. And in order to keep ourselves focused on the primary purpose at our meetings, we've developed a service structure. And the service structure works is that I'm the addict, I go to a meeting. I go to a meeting, I hear a message in Narcotics Anonymous. If I'm lucky, that's what I hear. I have a home group, because they told me when I got here I needed to get a home group. And in my home group, we have service positions. I'm of service in my home group. whenever I can be. We have, you know, you have the coffee maker, you have the GSR, and I'm going to talk a lot about the GSR because I think it's pretty important. You have the secretary, you have a lot of different positions. You have the treasurer, and you have that support, that network, that structure of the home group. Now, the GSR, group service representative, goes to a place called Area. Area, you get GSRs from all over your area who come to exchange information, who come to do business, Narcotics Anonymous business, that does not need to be taken care of at the meeting level, because our meetings, again, are about the primary purpose. So we go to Area Service. The GSR's responsibility is to take that information from the home groups so that the home group can be heard at Area, and to bring back the information from Area to the home group so that the home group knows what's going on in Narcotics Anonymous. You have, so for the Area has a representative called the RSM, Regional Service, no, sorry, RCM, Regional Council Member. They do pretty much the same job that a GSR does. They get the information from the area. They get the group conscience information from the area. They know where the area stands. They take that information to the region. The region brings in GSRs, or I'm sorry, not, well, they do bring in GSRs. GSRs do come to regional. But they also have the regional council members from all over the region. And they get together and they share their experience, their group conscience, their information from the groups on up and from the world on down. That's the flow of information. So then you have the RDs, the regional delegates. Regional delegates go from the regional up to the world. And they get information that we as an individual member of Narcotics Anonymous bring to our groups, which brings to our area, which brings to our region, and then they push it up to the world so that the world knows where we, how we feel and what's going on in our groups. And then they also bring information for us from the world so that we know what's going on at the world level. It's an amazing structure, really, for people who are all 100% volunteer, as far as that goes. It's the actual service of moving that information. And the first question on the study guide is, does your group hold regular business meetings? And I think that's, I think by that description, hopefully you see the importance of having those business meetings. It's important for me. I was in a home group for a while that didn't have business meetings hardly ever. The only time they ever had a business meeting is if it was specifically related to that home group. So it was like an entity all of its own in a little island. I don't think unless we went outside of our home group, we didn't really know what was going on in Narcotics Anonymous. I was in a home group for a long time that didn't even know what the CAR report was. If you don't know what the CAR report is, there's a problem in the communication chain. And you need to pull somebody up on it. The second concept says the final responsibility and authority for NA services rests with the NA group. The groups have final responsibility for and authority over the service structure they have created. One of the first questions it says is, does your group's GSR regularly take part in AS area service meetings? Do you regularly contribute to area service? Do these things give your group any say about the way Narcotics Anonymous services are administered and how? And one of the things that I forgot to tell you in that whole service structure is one of the business things that happens at the area level is that we have subcommittees called H&I, Hospitals and Institutions, PI, Public Information. We have special events coordinators. We have phone line. And all those services help us to do our primary purpose, to carry the message, and it just in a different way, and we're able to pull our resources through the whole area, and then again through the whole region, because I'm just amazed. So the thing is, if you're not showing up regularly, if your GSR isn't getting the information, then there's a kitchen to get along. You know, there's a problem with getting that information, and you're not able to really contribute to Narcotics Anonymous, your input. And as a member of NA, and if we say we're a member, our voice should be heard. And that, you know, authority and responsibility are pretty interesting words. I didn't really want either when I got here. But the authority is, like, we're giving authority to service groups to serve in our best interest. And along with that authority, they have responsibility, but we have responsibility. We have the responsibility to show up and support that person, and we also have the responsibility to pick the right people. You know, if we put somebody in a service position and we voted, you know, in our best interest that that's the person for the job, it shouldn't be done lightheartedly, because we have to give them the authority to do what we're asking them to do. The third concept says that NA groups delegate to the service structure the authority necessary to fulfill the responsibilities assigned to it. And what that means to me is it helps define how we delegate authority and why. One of the questions in this service guide is, if your group were consulted on every decision that had to be made by every service board, committee, or subcommittee at the area, regional, and world level, would you still have enough time and energy to address your own group's business? And would your group have enough information to offer intelligent advice on all those matters? And what that says to me is that it clears us up to do business at a business meeting and have a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous and to pull our resources. We clearly define what the purpose is of each subcommittee, of each service committee that we create. We clearly define what the primary purpose of that group is. Hospitals and institutions, for example, it's very clear. The purpose is to carry the message into hospitals and institutions of Narcotics Anonymous. And there's no ambiguity about that. That's our purpose. And we have to give the people in those positions, in those service positions, in those that part of the service structure, the authority to do it. And we have to delegate that information. We have to trust that they're going to continue to be accountable, give us information at the area and regional level to know what's going on, but that we it frees us up to know that it's being taken care of and move forward. What I like about this one, the third concept, is it moves nicely into the fourth concept, which is my favorite concept, and it's basically that we have, again, the responsibility to empower the proper people to pick wisely. The fourth concept says effective leadership is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership qualities should carefully be considered when selecting trusted servants. The trust necessary to confidently delegate authority is founded on the careful selection of trusted servants. One of the things that I liked is when I was reading this, one of the first things, the first quality that it mentioned being important for a trusted servant was humility. And I thought about that, and I try to live by that. Knowing what my limitations are, not promising more than I can deliver, but actually delivering what I promise. Talked about people who are working the 12 steps and applying it in their lives. I talked about people who lead by example, inviting respect, not demanding it. And I thought that was pretty cool. I look for people who are walking the walk and not talking the talk, and who are accountable, you know, for their actions in a service position in their life. I think it's important. It talks about having, for our trusted servants, to have the ability to listen, to actually hear what people are telling them, and to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. I thought that was pretty important, because I've seen a lot of meetings go a little off kilter because of people more wanting to be heard than being able to listen and being disagreeable as opposed to just disagreeing. It's important to be able to stand for what we believe in and to stand for a principle, but not so much so if it's we don't have to be jerks about it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We don't have to be jerks about it. It's important. It talks about having the ability to communicate, compromise. But some positions require organizational skills. You know, you don't want to put somebody in a treasurer position that doesn't know how to balance their checkbook. You know, there are certain, and that goes where that humility thing. The one position I will not hold at this point in my life is a treasurer position. I'm not qualified. I'm not ready. I don't want it. But that's just humility. That's knowing where my limitations are. And it talked about one of the things that I thought was really important for anybody who doesn't have a service commitment, like a on paper, you know, on the GSR kind of service commitment, is that we have personal leadership skills in every area of Narcotics Anonymous. And what I mean by personal leadership skills is I think of the people who, when I'm at a meeting, and it's a big meeting, and there's like a whole bunch of chairs, and you know it took a long time to set that meeting up, and then everybody has their meeting, and they truck out the door, and nobody's picking up chairs, except a few home group members that set the meeting up. That doesn't speak highly to me of anybody's leadership skills, other than the people that are sitting there picking up chairs. You know, those are the people that I'm looking to talk to. They're looking at giving back. There's people who quietly and humbly pick up trash after a meeting or after a Narcotics Anonymous event and aren't asking for recognition and don't want to stand up at a podium and look good. They're there to serve Narcotics Anonymous. To me, that's an important leadership skill. But there's all kinds of things. Greeting the newcomer. That's huge. Because I didn't come here and feel a whole lot of love, honestly, like I didn't get greeted as a newcomer. But that doesn't mean that that's the way I want to propagate it. I want to be able to meet the newcomer. I want to be able to step out of my own head long enough to be of service to Narcotics Anonymous and show somebody a glimmer of hope. The question that I thought was interesting from the fourth concept was, does your group have leaders? And if so, who are they? Who are they? So think about that. In one sense, are they leaders? How are you a leader? Is a good question personally. I know that I ask myself that question on a pretty regular basis. And I thought this was interesting to think about, is could a service board or committee do without leaders? Because we always talk about trusted servants, not, you know, we don't govern. But we do need leaders. We need people. Think of what area service would be like if you've been to area service. If you don't have somebody who's familiar with what they're doing and strong in the concepts and strong in the traditions and strong in the rules of order and all those things, it's very chaotic. And it's very obvious when we don't have a leader in that position. It's very obvious. The fifth concept says, for each responsibility assigned in service structure, a single point of decision and accountability should be clearly defined. Basically, it's reasonable delegation. If you're accountability does not mean that we delegate authority only to take it right back. It just means that we clearly match up the task, we clearly define the task, and then we match it up to somebody who can fulfill that purpose. And then by doing that, we're trusting their accountability, we're trusting their integrity, we're trusting their responsibility to be able to carry it out, and we give them our vote of confidence. We give them the authority necessary to do their job, you know? And the interesting thing is, again, it's I'll go back to the GSR a lot because I think that that's the thing that most people can relate to, is the GSR. If we put a GSR in our home group, and we have a vote of confidence that they're going to hear, they're going to pay. First of all, we're giving our vote of confidence that they're going to show up at area service. That's important. We can't get the information if they don't show up. If they show up, we're trusting that person to give us the information that was disseminated at area service without bias, without judgment, to just give us the clear information of what's happening. We need to know. As a home group, we need to know what's happening in Narcotics Anonymous. And then we're also trusting that when we share with them at our group conscience what our thoughts and opinions and feelings are, that they're going to take it back to the area. If we put somebody in that position that we don't have that vote of confidence, then how are we going to not question everything they do? How are we not going to, like, challenge them at every step of the way? And we're really tying our own hands. Because we can't do what we're asking them to do if we don't give them that vote of confidence. So that's where the fourth concept comes in about picking wisely. The guide to local service says, exercise of concept 5 is not to be taken lightly. It calls for us to carefully consider the service work that we want done, to clearly designate who should do that work, to do it and to maintain accountability for all those duties. It also keeps us from doubling up a lot of the things that we do. If we have somebody at our group level that's wants to take a meeting into hospitals and institutions and doesn't get with hospitals and institutions, they could be duplicating their efforts. They could be wasting their time, wasting NA's time, wasting their energy, wasting possibly our resources because they're duplicating efforts and they're not coordinating it. They're not, you know, again, we can do together what we cannot do alone. And we can reach a lot more people by being of service with each other as opposed to next to each other. The sixth concept says, a group conscience is a spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions. One of the first things that my sponsor pointed out was the difference between a group conscience and a business meeting. And nobody had really pointed that out to me before. And she said, a group conscience is when you get the feel of like what everybody in the room, as a home group or as an area or region or whatever service body that you're in, you get a feeling for what the conscience is, what people have, what people are feeling at that particular moment, what the temperature of the room is as far as thoughts and opinions. A business meeting is where you vote, and hopefully that's an accurate reflection of the group conscience. Hopefully it's not one of those, you know, five against one and the one person feels hurt and separates themselves because they feel hurt. Hopefully, if I'm the one that feels a little differently than the rest of the room, I have to kind of say, okay, I feel differently. I said my piece, and now let's move forward in loving service and get done what we need to get done. I like this. It says, we apply the sixth concept when we seek to do God's will, not our own, to serve others, not ourselves, in our service decisions. And really, I can't say anything any better than that. Is so clear-cut to me. It's so clear-cut. And I have to ask myself, anytime I see a service committee start to spin out of control in personalities and not principles, I want to just stand up and read that for them. You know? But personally, all I can do is work on me, so personally I have to think about that in my own life. Like, am I doing this out of my opinion, what I think, feel, or is it God's will? The seventh concept says that all members of a service body bear substantial responsibility for that body's decisions and should be allowed to fully participate in the decision-making process, which to me says each voice should be heard. It doesn't mean that, as my sponsor said, you get to take the meeting hostage with your opinion, but each voice should be heard, and that is a team effort. You know, and that's the other thing it really helps for me to remember in the middle of chaos when people are caught up in personalities as opposed to principles is that we're all on the same team. We're all, if we really break it down, what are we doing? We're trying to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. It's really simple that no addict need die. Every team member's participation is important. You know, we don't want to exclude people. We don't want to say, well, you know, your voice isn't important. You don't get to vote. It really just depends on every service body who the voting people are. But the facts of the matter is, even, let's say, for area or region, even if you're not a voting person, if you don't have the right to vote, you do have the right to stand up and make your opinion heard. You do have a right to make your case and say what you need to say so that you feel like you were heard and you were part of the team effort. And I think that's really important. And again, go back to the GSR. It's really important that the GSR participate at the area level so that we can be heard, so that we know what our home group is saying, what's going on in our home group is heard at the area level. That's the only way it ever has a chance to move up further up that chain. The eighth concept, our service structure depends on the integrity and effectiveness of our communications. Like every other area of our life doesn't. The question, it says, is does your group receive regular communication from the trusted servants, service boards, and committees that serve it? Does your group regularly communicate with those trusted servants, service boards, and committees? How has that communication or lack of communication affected your group? Again, I'll go back to my first home group for 7 years. I don't ever remember getting information from the area level in that home group. I didn't know about area. Actually, I went to area one time and it was a complete madhouse. I thought, I'm never going back. They're crazy. And And I thought, I'm not spiritually well enough for this. So I just stepped right out. And our home group had a lot of people, I guess, who felt like I did, that weren't spiritually sound enough to go, or just didn't have the desire, didn't understand it. But we weren't represented. And therefore, we never got the information that we needed as a home group to participate in Narcotics Anonymous. In that 7 years, I never heard of the Carr Report. I never heard anything about the World Board. I didn't know about www.na.org. I didn't know any of that stuff. So I was just stuck in my own little world, carrying the message at the meeting. But I didn't know about the bigger picture. And I think it's important that we know about the bigger picture and that we get to be involved in that bigger picture and continue to keep the wheels of Narcotics Anonymous turning. The other thing that I put, and I think this is really important, it goes back to the qualities. I think it's important that we be able to listen and ask questions and listen and speak clearly so that other people can hear us and so that we can hear other people. And I think it's really important when you're in a position such as a GSR, RCM, or even as a general member of Narcotics Anonymous, saying what you feel is going on in a home group or any other particular, in H&I, in special events, I think it's really important that we not carry our personal grievances, our personal grudges, and our personal opinions without carrying the big picture. Like for me, I'm really good at what I call being the devil's advocate. I'm really good at presenting both sides of the story, you know? And when I ask somebody, like, why they feel a certain way, I want to know the whole picture. I want to know why. You know, why is it that you voted no? Why is it that you voted yes? Not because I want to argue or disagree or agree. I just want to know what the thought process is because that's how I educate myself. And I think it's important that I continue to do that. The ninth concept says all elements of our service structure have the responsibility to carefully consider all viewpoints in their decision-making process. What I like about the concepts is they really do flow nicely one into the other, just like the steps in their traditions. It's pretty amazing to me. And again, I said this earlier this morning, I cannot possibly say anything better, clearer, or more concise than what's already been written by Narcotics Anonymous. I'm just in awe of our literature. I really am. One of the study questions and discussion questions on this was, an effective group conscience is a fully informed group conscience. Why is it important to make sure all viewpoints are considered when making service decisions? And I'll give you an example. I was at area regional service yesterday, and somebody had what I thought was an excellent idea. I was like, wow, I can't believe nobody's thought of that before. And then somebody else right behind them had an equally insightful question about that idea that I hadn't thought of, which made it look like maybe not such a great idea. And it was pretty interesting how the process of all of our different perspectives can really ultimately help us to develop amazing stuff. Addicts develop this literature that we read from. And not one person sat down and said, this is the way it's going to be. It was a group effort. And it's important that we all get heard. Not necessarily dictate, again, we don't necessarily dictate one person's opinion over everybody else's, but it's important that all our voices are heard. And I think personally it's our personal responsibility to say what we need to say, even if we're alone in that opinion. 10th concept says that any member of the service body can petition that body for redress of a personal grievance without fear of reprisal. And what I like, bottom line, is that we can't get kicked out of NA and that we have a right to be heard. But what I really wanted to read, because when the first thing my sponsor said when we were going over this was that hopefully this rarely happens. Hopefully we can apply some things in our lives that this can rarely need to happen. But it says the concept, the 10th concept, is our fellowship's guarantee of respect for the individual trusted servant. If you think you've been wronged in the course of your participation in NA service body and wish to apply concept 10, talk to your sponsor about it. Inventory your own involvement in the matter. Pray and meditate. And I like to do that in any time in the real world, not necessarily just in service, but in the real world, it's important for me to be able to apply all those things before I open my mouth. Somebody once told me, make my words soft and sweet because I never know when I'm going to have to eat them. So if I'm looking at that stuff and my part in it, it makes it much easier to know where I stand. The 11th concept says that NA funds need to be used to further our primary purpose and must be managed responsibly. I wrote, duh. That seems pretty obvious. You know, money is, our funds are not easy to come by, and they are given with an incredible sense of trust. When we put money in the basket, we are trusting that Narcotics Anonymous is going to use it wisely. And we're going to trust that the people that are we're giving it to are accountable for it. And I want to, like, what is money used for in your group, your area, your region, and your world services? And again, I'll go back to that home group that I didn't really have any representation. I had no idea that money went to the world. I didn't really know what happened to the money after I put it in the basket, and then we paid for our expenses. We paid for our expenses, and money went to area. I didn't know what happened to it after that. And that money pays for the area, the things that the area that need to get taken care of for business, and then that money goes up to the region. And then from the region, it goes to the world. And the world, they use it to carry the message all over the world, literally, to open new offices in different countries, to translate literature, to create more literature. And I think it's important that we know that that money is being accounted for. And there's always a level of accountability. A spreadsheet somewhere, you know, you can ask pretty much anybody on any committee that you want to see their books, and they're going to be able to show you their books. And if they can't, there's a problem. The 12th concept says, in keeping with the spiritual nature of Narcotics Anonymous, our structure should always be one of service, never government. Goes on to say the 12th concept brings our consideration of concepts for NA service back to the spiritual root of selfless service. A structure based on the foundation could only be one of service, never government. And this is easy to understand for me if we remember, again, that primary purpose. They were all on the same side, on the same team. They were all working to further the message of Narcotics Anonymous to save the addict who's out there sick and suffering. It's really simple if we remember that. I'm going to end with something that the cool thing about Narcotics Anonymous is that we get information that's passed on to us. My sponsors passed this on to me because somebody passed it on to her, and I thought it was very profound, and you might not think so. But she said there are three stages of service. There's the grateful service. Like, I am so grateful to be clean that I will empty cigarette butts, you know, ashtrays, butt cans. I will sweep the walk. I will pick up a chair. I'll do whatever's necessary. And then there's the thing that a lot of us get caught up in as we move up in the more in visual positions is that self-righteous service. Like, I'm so important. I'm the only one that could do it right. I can do it, you know. And we forget where our gratitude is. And then hopefully it moves to selfless service. And I try really hard when I'm applying different things in my life to remember that I owe Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous doesn't owe me shit. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Bradley.
Hey, family, my name is Bradley. I am a recovering addict. Do you have a statement for me to read?
Oh, I do. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Look, I'm nervous, too. I'll sit that there for 1 minute. Speaker's statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members and substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, my name is Bradley. I am a recovering addict, and I thank the Chesapeake Potomac area for asking me to come up and do this workshop. You know, I had a little trouble sleeping last night. The thoughts started rolling around in my head, and I had to sit and pray on it for a while, and I actually didn't get a whole lot of sleep because I was nervous. You know, I've done a workshop before, but never to this magnitude. I believe in the service structure of Narcotics Anonymous. I am very serious about not just my recovery, but making sure that it is available to the people that are coming behind us to keep us, you know, the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous alive and going. And service starts at home, y'all. And what I thought about, you know, when they called me and asked me, and I want to thank Marie, too. You know, we talked before the meeting, but I thank her for the way she presented the concepts of Narcotics Anonymous, because a lot of times, you know, when I'm at a meeting and I reference to something in a concept or something, and I'll talk about 36 spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous, I get a lot of questions after the meeting, you know. And our concepts are spiritual in nature, our service. You know, I'm fortunate and blessed enough to be able to guide some young men through the recovery process. And the first assignment that I always give my sponsees is that they go to the symbol and read the symbol. Because the symbol is very, very important that we know what we've gotten in ourselves into. And I'm going to be referencing our literature, because I think it's very important that I give you clear understanding, and it does not come from within what I think. I think my opinion doesn't matter here. This is how we recover one day at a time. And there's this part in our regular basic text under the symbol where it says very simple, because it says, the square base denotes goodwill, the ground of both the fellowship and the members of our society. Goodwill is best exemplified in service. Proper service is doing the right thing for the right reason. When goodwill supports and motivates both the individual and the fellowship, we are fully whole and wholly free. You know, and I thought that was just very important. And also I heard Miss Marie talk about our guide to local service and all. And like I said, service starts at home. And with my home group, we carry this book, A Guide to Local Service. And when you get into service, everyone is given an issue to take and read so they can understand the service and what is required of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. Service for me started as a child, really, when I really started thinking about it, and that's probably why I stay hungry in service, because as a child, a very young child, my grandmother used to take me to the store and make me do grocery shopping. You know, she used to put like an 8-ounce can here and a 10-ounce can here and make me, you know, say which one was the best deal for the price. So very early, structure was put into my life, and that's what we're talking about here. See, along the way, I was, you know, deterred. I don't know exactly how to say it, but I went a different way. You know, it wasn't so much to have structure in my life, it was more that I wanted freedom in my life. And the way that I achieved my freedom was through negative behavior. And what I want to talk about in the service starts, like I said, at the home and with the suffering addict. It's very important that we know and that we're open and willing to help someone find the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I have to write notes. I got a little, so And from the suffering addict feeds the home group. My home group is NA in LA. We're in Alexandria, Virginia. We meet on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And in my home group, we have home group members that are responsible for things such as the treasurer, the coffee, the secretary, the chairperson, you know, and each one of them has their own individual responsibility. Now, our local guide to local service has some suggestions in it and how that we pick up and ask people to fulfill these service positions. And I think it's very important that we follow the guidelines that were already, you know, put in place. She talked about it, and I'll get into the concept and all. But we have to put people and hold them accountable. So we can't put people in place if they do not have the knowledge of what they're about to step into. That's why it's important to our home group. I'm glad to see one of the home group members here, you know, that they understand this journey that we're about to embark of selfless service. You know, I wanted to read this. It comes from our 12 concepts for NA service, and it talks about the spiritual ideas of our steps and traditions provide the basis for these concepts, which are tailored to the specific needs of our fellowship service structure. The concepts encourage our groups to more readily achieve our traditions, ideals, and our service structure to function effectively and responsibly. Our services are stabilized when we are consciously applied these concepts, much as our steps have stabilized our lives and our traditions have stabilized and unified the group. The 12 concepts guide our services and help ensure that the message of Narcotics Anonymous is available to all addicts who have a desire to stop using and begin practicing our way of life. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I came via a detox facility. And I'm not here to endorse the facility. I'm here to endorse how I was introduced to the program. You know, and my need to have structure in my life. The way I was feeling at that time, my clean date is October 6th of 1999. You know, when I was asked to do this workshop, I had some feelings of inadequacy. You know, I called my sponsor, and he simply took me to literature and told me clean time does not equal recovery. See, this committee has seen something in me that I guess improvises, however you say it, that I am a member of Narcotics Anonymous with a working relationship of the steps, the traditions, and the concepts, you know. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to share briefly, because Maria did a very good job covering every concept, and I thank her, because I can appreciate Narcotics Anonymous and the people that have been put in my life. You know, and the first concept talks about to fulfill our fellowship's primary purpose, and the groups have joined together to create a structure which develops, coordinates, and maintains service on behalf of NA as a whole. And what that tells me is how it's a privilege and an honor to serve. This is a capacity that I'm doing right now, is serving Narcotics Anonymous to help someone. What I understand about the concepts, few people have a lot of experience with them, and the bottom line is that the principles that are underlying in the concepts are of loving and caring service. The final responsibility, which is the second concept, and authority for NA service rests within NA groups, you know, and this one is about how our service structure is set up to where the groups have the last word, you know. What happens when I told you about, you know, starting with the suffering addict, moving to the home group, then from the home group we move to the area level, from the area to the region, from the region to the world, and they all feed each other. And the key thing to that, the world feeds it right back down to the suffering addict, you know. And by understanding this, you know, about the responsibility of me as an individual to my home group, to other groups. I'm currently involved in service. I've been in service with Narcotics Anonymous since I had 33 days, I believe, clean. you know, and I was put in the service. You know, I made a lot of mistakes. But what that did, it kept me vigilant at my purpose, you know, of staying clean and helping someone else. And my sponsor, who is Joe J., and my grand sponsor is Lester M., have been very, very crucial and important to my recovery process. You know, when I left that facility, my sponsor put me in service, like I said, right away. He started me in step work with 45 days clean. He put me in a step study group with 48 days clean. See, because what happens in the service structure of Narcotics Anonymous, each one teaches one. You know, my sponsor gave me some guidelines to follow. You know, we talk about suggestions, and I believe there are things we must do in order to grow inside so it shows on our outside. Sometimes it's still suffering addict. The best example may be one of us, you know, that he may never see a basic text. You know, my disease is ever visible, and before I came to the convention, I was getting a shave and a haircut, and I was down, you know, in an area where I grew up, so needless to say, I did a lot of dirt, and I knew a lot of people down there, and my disease wanted to check in, you know. I was said hello to a gentleman and all, and another gentleman said, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while, Bradley." I said, "Well, you know where I am on Saturdays at 6 o'clock, you know." And he said, "Well, I'm not trying to go there." And the other guy immediately said, "Well, you know what? Those people are brainwashed, all y'all," and started really talking bad about Narcotics Anonymous. And the one thing that I got out of that, I do not have to defend Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous speaks for itself. You know, my first instinct was to use a defect and talk real slick, you know, and start pushing the program on him. And see, the irony of it, see, God has something to show me. See, his thing was, he said, "Yeah, I haven't had any alcohol in my system in a while," and he started bragging on it, you know. What God did, he was showing me my story. See, my story is the same. My last drink was actually 4 years before I got to Narcotics Anonymous. But let me tell you this, the very next thing that gentleman did was pull out a joint and start firing it up and start smoking it right there. So see, I saw the disease in full effect, and I know that God was showing me this. So when I came here, I'd be in a posture of humility, which is the perfect place for any addict. So when I'm going to move on, and we're going to talk about the third tradition, where the NA groups delegate to the service structure the authority necessary to fulfill the responsibilities assigned to it. And she talked about the GSRs and group service representatives. And I'm pretty fortunate that I'm able to carry a message. I am also the vice chair for an H&I subcommittee, which is a part of our service structure. I've been fortunate enough to start a meeting that we named Youth in Recovery, because in our area, our youth, it was starting to identify out. And so the reason I did it as to name the group Youth with capital N Recovery, so even people knew, because the problem was that it was at a place where the facility wanted the meeting for their members. So first it was sent to me, and I sent them to the area, you know, to get the meeting started. And they were having a lot of problems with the format and how to set the meeting up. And eventually they sent them to H&I. Imagine that. So then there I am again. I'm right back in the middle. So fortunately we were able to come to an agreement, and they put out flyers and everything, and they put their little logo on the top. This so-and-so is introducing Narcotics Anonymous meetings and all. So, you know, I went back over, and fortunately, I know about the traditions, and I practice them in my life, and I brought them the book. So they know that I'm not going on my own understanding, you know, and immediately, within the 3 minutes, you know, they had taken that off and introduced the flyer to me again. I'm here to report that meeting is up and running now. Because, see, service is that no addict. No addict seeking recovery need ever die. It says it on our medallions. It's very important. We also have the phone lines, public information. Public information is part of our service structure, such as for when we are dealing with professionals, you know. See, I don't have no letters behind my name except for a recovering addict, you know. So we have our public information people who can go to facilities where they have doctors, lawyers, you know, any type of thing that need to be addressed, where they have committees. You know, then our H&I, such as myself, we set up panel coordinators, panel members, panel leaders, you know, to carry the message into the institutions, the hospitals, and things of that nature. Our phone lines are a great source of information to the outside to help us, to help someone else, you know. And I always talk about our service structure because it's very important. That it doesn't matter how much time you have, it matters what you do with the time when we're here and the quality that we put in. It's not okay to let someone else do all the work. I do understand that. You know, this is a we program. You know, the steps are guidelines, and they say we in every step. So, see, that was for me, the individual. And what I also want to talk about was the GSR being our mouthpiece for the group, and it's also for the best. Does the work for the best of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, and our group service representative is a very key figure, you know, in our group getting the message of how we feel as a group. To send it up to our area to where it can be addressed if we're having problems, to where if area cannot help us, it goes to the region and on and on. I'm fortunate to be involved in a group where we use the World Service very regular. We email it. We've had some issues with the Lord's Prayer, so we sent to get there. You know, input on the Lord's Prayer, and they emailed us right back, of course. And so we brought it out and we dispersed it in our area. There was also about the clarity statement that some groups were using, you know, which is, as we know, not actually Narcotics and World Service, Narcotics Anonymous approved literature, because, and it stated how it can be read. But it cannot be read as a reading, and that's what most groups were doing. It was to be read as an announcement, you know. These are things in the service structure that I'm talking about that we need to be informed of, so we try and stay with the unity of the program. The fourth concept, effective leadership is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership quality should be carefully considered when selecting trusted servants. And now that's one where sometimes people say I'm trying to run things. But I'm one who firmly believes when it's suggested that people have certain amounts of clean time to be officers, that is what it should be done. It should not be totally on their desire to serve. Yes, that's a good quality. But see, what I found out, a desire to serve might not be enough to keep us, and when I say us, I'm talking about Narcotics Anonymous, running to the best of its ability. You know, this program has worked before we got here, and it will be working just fine. This is one where we need to add nothing or take nothing away. And I don't want to minimize nobody's clean time, but we have a lot of service positions available that don't come under the umbrella of an officer, you know. Set up the meeting, the call fee, you know. And see, what I've come to understand, no one task is any less than another. They are all equally important, you know. And that's just, you know, like I said, that might be mine, but I'm a firm believer in the literature and as it was written and the suggestions that it takes. And our fifth concept is for each responsibility assigned to the service structure, a single point of decision and accountability should be clearly defined. And this is about appointing tasks, y'all. We're talking about the program committee. I talked to you about the H&I and the structure of it, but I'm talking about this convention just as a very good example how the program and committee to put the workshops together. If a group had to take time out and try and do this and set up something this large to this magnitude, how the addict that was coming to a meeting would miss out. You know, it talks about, you know, the special needs, entertainment, registration, all these service positions, you know, and all these service structures that need to be done on the outside that we start setting up a year in advance, you know. I'm one of these that uses personal, too, when I come to the convention because I've always been in service of some service at the convention. And the fifth concept is about assigning the service structure so it can be fulfilled to the best of our needs. The sixth concept is the group conscience. It's the spiritual means by which we invite a loving God to influence our decisions. I've been in some meetings where I, you know, things truly disturbed me because, I was at a meeting one time where trusted servants opened up a group conscience to donate money to a facility, you know, which in direct violation of our traditions, and it talks about in that tradition how a group conscience can never contradict or change a tradition. But then what I came to find out when I talked to the members afterwards and asked about, you know, their service structure, and they do not even hold business meetings. So I felt, and this is my personal, and this is one thing I don't do is give personal opinion, but I'm going to do it now. I felt the time that I was coming and putting my money in that basket was being stolen. You know, that's just how it felt to me. You know, I informed the area of it, and I don't know if anything was done or if the group's still doing it. I do not get involved in that group. You know, it's that simple. You know, the group conscience is inviting God in. We cannot open a group conscience when we have 50 uninformed members in there that are from treatment centers and all to make a decision for a treatment center. You know, this is why we have these concepts. The seventh concept, all members of a service body bear substantial responsibility for that body's decision and should be allowed to fully participate in its decision process. And the eighth is our service structure depends on integrity and effectiveness of our communications. The young lady went through all 12 and we're about out of time. So what I want to do, as usual, I'm going to go to the literature to give us a little insight. And in our eighth concepts, it talks about a conscience fed on ignorance is an ineffective conscience, incapable of providing reliable guidance. An effective conscience can develop only in an atmosphere of regular open communication among all parties concerned. Our experience has shown us that the ideas of those who disagree with us are often the ones we need to hear. In any discussion, it is tempting to ignore dissenting members, especially if the vast majority of members think alike. Yet it is often the lone voice offering new information or a unique perspective on things that saves us from hasty or misinformed decisions. So all elements of our service structure have the responsibility to be carefully considered, all viewpoints in the decision-making process. So what we're saying, there are no big I's or little U's here. Everybody in this room has a voice, you know, and we do take this very seriously. The 10th concept is any member of a service body can petition that body for readdress, a personal grievance without fear of reprisal. We cannot beat up the newcomer for making a mistake because of a decision on our own personal beliefs. And that's my notes on that. And the reason I say that, I've seen us come in and beat up people because we don't see it. When I first got here, I'm going to share this real quick since my time is up. There was a group that I can remember, and I was involved. That's why I like to get honest, you know. What happened, we didn't like the chairperson. So he had gotten a couple of us together. It was about 7 or 8 of us. And we went down there and we attended their business meeting. And we made a motion to dismiss him as chairperson and vote the guy in, you know. And that's exactly what this is talking about, that we can't petition the body for the readdress and why it was done, because the very next business meeting, of course, none of us were there, you know. So that was a personal thing. The 11th concept, which I discussed with the funds to be used already responsibly, and I gave an example of how they were not used responsibly, but we need to know that our money is going from our personal pocket to the home group, to the area, to the region, to the world, and then it comes right back down to us, you know. And our 12th concept is in keeping with spiritual nature of Narcotics Anonymous, our structure should always be one of service, never of government. There's two things I'm going to read real quick, and one of them is for our 11th concept, which says Narcotics Anonymous funds should always be used to further our primary purpose. Money is used to pay the expenses involved in running NA recovery meetings, to inform the public about NA and reach addicts who can't get to meetings. And then I'm going to go to the 12th concept, which is very simple. The 12th concept reminds us that we ourselves have experienced recovery only because others put this selfish principle into action before us. Taking the time and the care to carry the NA message to us when we were still suffering from active addiction. In service, we express our gratitude for the recovery others have shared with us by carrying ours to others. Nothing could be further from the drive to rule or direct than this spirit of selfless service. So I want to thank this committee for asking me to come up and share my experience on the 12 concepts of service. And it also says, together we recover and together we serve. This is the spiritual core of our program, the foundation of our fellowship. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.